The title of today's talk is Make Room for Master God Power Now. You did not make the problem. God made the problem. But like any teacher, he presents problems to be solved. You are asked to solve forgetfulness of God now and every now. Make room for God. Make room for God power. That means that you can't push the space frequencies away that allow God power to be experiential in your life. If you want God to be experiential, you have to create the habitat. You have to create the space, which means attention. So make room for God power, make room for God, period. Make room for master power, make room for master power. It's a biological problem. It's a physiological problem that becomes a psychological problem that has to be reorganized. So, you know, you don't go to college or school not to have to solve problems. From the day you're born, you're solving problems. How do I get up on my, you know, four arms and legs? Okay. The kid has to figure it out. Now, the parent may put the arms down and put the legs in position for crawling, but eventually the kid has to solve the problem. And so this solving of problems is indigenous to being in the body. But we get so preoccupied with solving basic biological, psychological problems, we forget the spiritual energy behind it all. You didn't do it. So, blame God. All right. But God said, okay, I'll give you the solutions. Here are the techniques. Use them or don't use them. How much do you really want to put God in charge? It's a problem because your ego absolutely does not. Your genetics do not. Now they would like love, but they want it their way. They don't want love the way God wants you to be on a different frequency that frees you from the dilemma of forgetfulness. If you don't use the right techniques, you don't get the right results. This is science. This isn't whoopee-doo. This is science. God created problems for us. How much do you want God? Well, don't ask your ego. Don't ask your ego. And don't ask your body, because to totally merge into God, you're going to have to sacrifice your body. You're going to have to sacrifice your ego. Why should they, who have been the barrier to your knowledge of God, be able to carry on while you know God? They have to take a back seat energetically of an existent so that you can experience Godness, God power. And that's why we keep saying that when someone dies, they're going to go to a better place. They're going to forget they had a body. They're not going to be in their body. And we say, oh, isn't that great? They get to go experience the light and love on another dimension. Sans the body, no body involved. But for enlightenment in the body, there has to be a technique of subduing the power of the ego and the genetics and the mind, so that you can experientially have space to experience spirit, soul, while alive in the body. That's called enlightenment. Light in the body, but the body ain't doing the same stuff. It has to change. Joy now. Is there something more important than joy now? Is there something more important than making room for God? Whoa, that's a problem. That's the problem we have been given to solve. So if we don't, we'll be back, because that's the assignment. Now, the professor gets to write the rules. The professor gets to design the course. He doesn't sit around and ask you if you like it. He just presents it. Yeah. You don't think of God as a teacher. And so you're confused. God is a teacher. You're in a body that needs teaching and tutoring. And God made it. And God presented the course. And God has a solution and the answers to the course. And you ain't gonna get away with nothing, because the be-all and the end-all is in charge. So thinking that you can outwit God, that you can pretend. That's like your little kid playing hide and seek for the first few times in his life. And he runs behind the curtain, and the curtain's too short, so his feet are showing and his arms are showing, but his face is covered and he can't see you. And he thinks he's hidden. So much for hiding from God. Open-hearted now. What's more important than being open-hearted now? Planning dinner? Being mad about having to do the dishes? Or clean up a mess off the floor? Or the throw up the kid just did, or whatever. Our driver in Thailand knew the rule: make room for Buddha. Now, he thought he had to physically make room. He moved closer to the door handle, and the steering wheel was kind of offside, making room for Buddha. Why isn't Buddha inside driving? Why can't we accept that God power that we want to heal us should be outside with a magic wand to do that, as opposed to being inside functioning perfectly? You see, we're screwed up. Blame God. He let you be raised by conditioned, psychologically screwed up parents and society that has all kinds of, let's say, misaligned ideas of life. So don't blame yourself, blame God. But if you want to graduate, if you want an A or an E for enlightenment, whatever, you're going to have to do it according to the rule book. No jumping the hedge. You're not going to get a shortcut. The shortcut is following the instructions. Ever gotten something and tried to put it together and never read the instructions, and you fiddle around, try and put kids' toys together on Christmas Eve? Okay. Yeah. You have to read the instructions sometimes, you know. And so that's what the masters are, instruction books. God is here. Why do we need a master? Why do we need an enlightened person if God is everywhere? Because your hearing is bad. Because your mind is egotistical. Because you've been busy trying to be the doer. For so long, you don't know what surrender is or how to do it. So the masters come along and they say, oh my goodness, dear, here's the rule book. Here are the tools. This is how you use them. Check in when you're doing it right. So you have to keep asking yourself, what's more important than attuning to God now? What is more important? What possible thing is more important? Well, it may be running out and saving the kid from getting run over by the car that's coming and he's running in front. But that will be God. God will make you run if you're supposed to. But that doesn't happen all day long. No, occasionally. Going to do the dishes or make the bed or, you know, water the plants or do the yard work or drive to Walmart. Now, being conscious in Walmart is quite an opportunity. Let's see. Did he make climbing up the face of a mountain easier? Or difficult? Getting through Walmart consciously is like climbing up a mountain. With every land hold on the way, tenuous. Every minute of every day is tenuous, and we don't know it because there are so many stupid interpretations of what's going on floating through our subconscious minds. You talk to yourself all day long, you tell stories, you lie to yourself, you lie to people in your mind, you're explaining, and you're making yourself look good, and all la 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 all day long. You're just having a fairy tale day. Ugh. What's more important than giving the reins to God now? The problem is you count as much as love counts with you now. Other than that, you're just baggage. But baggage that gets to be kicked around karmically because you refuse to give the reins to God. So, here we are. We either get the picture that God is the professor, God is the teacher, God created the situation. God wants you to understand and solve the situation that he's presented for you. Yes. You need to solve the problems, how to be attuned to spirit now. And it starts very simply. First, relax. If you think you're guilty, are you going to relax? If you can blame God, good. Relax. Okay, God. you set up the program. I have hardly a minuscule idea of what your agenda was. I don't know. So why am I trying to be so dang smart? I don't know. Relax. Well, then after you relax, you may want to smile. That'll make you relax a little more. Maybe you go to the heart and you open your heart. Open your heart. It'd be nice to open your heart to God. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. We could open our heart just because God is there. Open, you know. There's God. No. Open-hearted. Open heart to God. Open heart to God's creation. Open-hearted. That's relaxing. How about some jolly joy now? You're in a very precarious, funny position. You should be laughing. That you don't remember that you're not in charge, that is hilarious. You make the rain fall, you make the rivers flow, you've created the mountains and you've created the plants and you've created everything. I mean, you know how to make giraffes and, you know, elephants and sharks and whales and, you know, you know how to make them all. You've made the whole thing. You're so talented. Okay. Once we get our position straight, if we ever do, because we're so egotistical, we can't. That's part of the problem solving. When you relax, you don't take yourself so seriously. When you're laughing, you don't take yourself so seriously. When we make jokes about the human condition, and there are billions of jokes about the human condition. Imagine that. We're hysterical. And if the angels weren't laughing and rolling off of their wings, I don't know why. Except they're taking pity on this poor student that isn't getting it. The question remains, what will it take for you to remember all day long that God is in charge? And that you make room for God where you are. So that God can do your driving, and so God can do your dishes, and so that God can pick up the mess on the floor, and so that God power, love, joy. You think God wouldn't laugh if he was picking up your mess? Of course he does. You laugh when a kid does something silly, don't you? Yeah. And when your dog can't get up on the sofa or something like that, falls down, you're concerned, but it's kind of funny. God's concerned, but he's laughing. So how long is it going to take before it registers that this is God's school and you are a very slow student? And the reason you're slow is because you believe you have intelligence. How intelligent is it to be standing in front of a genius and you telling him what 2 and 2 add up to be? That's laughable. And the laugh is because you refuse to acknowledge cognitively that you're standing in front of somebody's brain that's superior to yours. You're standing in the middle of God, pretending to know things you don't know. Having discussions with yourself that are so insipid and so full of lies and misinterpretations, and you think that's smart. Somehow it's okay to go on doing it day after day, year after year, minute after minute. Lie, 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 lie. Stupid, 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 stupid. And all you have to do is shut up, acknowledge that the professor, God, the creator, God, knows what's going on and you don't. And your job is to learn who's in charge and to attune to who's in charge. Okay. Are we getting it? You are ignorant by plan. You've been given tools to awaken from the ignorance. Oh, how long will it take? That's the only question. Is how long will it be before it registers, fully registers? You've got to make room for God every minute. You've got to make room for Master Power every minute. The Master's job is to bring the tools. Yours is to use them. It's not like they're not there. You've been given the tools. And they work when you work them. So it's time to acknowledge who's in charge here. Who created creation? And that is not a silly thing. It's put it into the perspective of a university or a school or a teacher. You know, a violin maker doesn't just throw down a stack of wood and say, oh, make a nice violin that sounds like a Stradivarius. But in a way, that's what he could do. But the student would be very stupid not to ask the violin maker how to make the violin with the wood. You see? Every single discipline requires training. So the master's come and they bring the tools. And we have to use them, or we don't get anywhere. Our friend Hafiz is pretty good at helping us put things in hysterical perspective. Why complain about life if you are looking for good fish and you have followed some idiot into the middle of the copper market? Why go crazy if you are looking for fine silk and you keep rubbing your hands against burlap and hemp sacks? If your heart really needs to touch a face that is filled with abundance, then why didn't you come to this old man sooner? For my cheek is the universe's cloister, and if you can make your prayer sweet enough tonight, then Hafiz will lean over and offer you all the warmth in my body in case God is busy doing something else somewhere else. And tenderness. Then why? Why, my dear, did you not come to your friend, the master, sooner? When the violin can forgive the past, it starts singing. When the violin can stop worrying about the future, you will become such a drunk, laughing nuisance that God will then lean down and start combing you into his hair. When the violin can forgive every wound caused by others, the heart starts singing. Ah. You are not guilty until you have the tools. Then, if you don't use the tools, so, what's it going to be? Make room for God? Make room for master power? Make room for light? Make room for love? Make room for joy? The amazing thing is that every one of the tools gives you instantaneous reward. The problem is you're so overloaded with cancellation thinking, ego thinking, subconscious resentments and fears and anticipations and plans, and you can't stop talking to yourself long enough to be still, to be open, to be joyful, just joyful. to register it, to feel it in your shoulder, to feel it in your heart center. Very hard to be loving without a heart. Oh well. So, remember that this is a schoolhouse. You're in school and you're being tested every minute of every day. What's it going to be? With God or without? With love or without? With joy or without? Now you can see why hurry and worry kill the man. Worry is not what you mean, go jolly. Worry is not joy. Duh, said the professor, who's in every molecule of creation. If we could hear the sighs and the moans and the groans of the creators awakened as they hear you talking to yourself, nonsense, instead of love and joy. And believe me, they can hear you. You reek of your thoughts. You reek of the frequencies of tension and not love, not joy, not recognition . I always keep visualizing Master in the rafters of a great gym, just watching down as everybody goes through there, kicking and screaming and running up and down the boards and everything. And then they fall down on the floor and they look up and there's God, laughing. Yes, laughing. The angels go between laughing and crying over us because the rules are simple. The tools are simple. They cannot be more simple. But the conditioning is very, very strong. And we would rather suffer in turmoil than relax. I mean, we rather do that. Our ego rather enjoys your tension. I mean, that's what its job is. It says, I've got them tense on this, I've got them tense on that, I've got them tense on the past, the future. You know, whatever they're doing now, they can be tense about, you know, running the water. They can be tense about, you know, taking out the garbage. They can be tense. Every single thing we do with tension is pretty stupid. I mean, if you have to tighten a wrench, okay, your hand may, but is your mind tense? Is your heart tense? You see, it's learning to control the mechanism that drives the tension. And those tools are relaxation. If we're trying to control tension, wouldn't you think relaxation is the antidote? Peculiar, but we don't get it. And the antidote of not trusting God is trusting God? Duh. Very weird, isn't it? Well, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, the master's harp on the tools. Use the tools so that you can make room for God. God's there, you're just not making room to experience God there. Now that's really crazy when you think about it. God is there, God is saying, come to me, let me be experienced in you. I'm waiting, here's the tools. Here's the tools. Relax so you can feel attuning to spirit. Oh, you want to die first? Oh. Then you'll attune to spirit? If you die and your soul goes on and then it experiences soulness, where was it when it was in you? You have to ask that question because it's paramount to the problem. Is the soul in or out? Does it leave and go to a better place? Is it not better when it goes there? Well, why isn't it better when it's in you then? Duh, I don't know. Okay. A million times you can hear it. When will it take root? Do not for 1 minute think you designed the program. You created the test. You didn't. That's taking power to yourself, isn't it? And there's only one doer, God. So, who do you blame? Or who do you praise? Is there some magnificent intention that God has created to make you ignorant of God and then to give you tools to make you aware of Godness? I think there is. I think there is a divine, beautiful plan.